let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. It's called A Delightfully Silly Picture Book that is perfect to read aloud to overstimulated children during a hectic holiday season. The book, Santa's Big White Chicken, A Christmas Story by Lewis Marino. Many are calling it a wacky new Christmas classic. And it started many years ago when Lou was given a Christmas tree ornament, a wood-carved Santa sitting astride a chicken. Lou was born and raised in Cleveland, a bachelor's degree of fine arts with a major in architecture. He was chief architect and partner in the firm that designed the original Anaheim baseball stadium in 1966, moved on to success in a real estate development firm, retired in 2000, accomplished at sailing and power boating, and now author of Santa's Big White Chicken, A Christmas Story. Beautifully illustrated by his oldest grandson, Louis Lansway. Louis Marino, our guest on This Week in America. Lou, welcome to the program. It's great to have you with us.
Nice to be there. Nice to have you have me.
Well, this is really nice. This is going to be fun to talk about because this is a wacky new Christmas tradition. We'll talk about how a Christmas tradition gets born during the course of the program today. But this is based like on a true story. Let's go back to that Christmas. You were given this Christmas tree ornament. Tell us that story and how this whole thing evolved from there.
Well, my stepson gave us a Christmas ornament. And it's about the size of, I don't know, it's about 3 inches high, something like that. It's a picture of a chicken, Santa Claus sitting on a chicken. And all I can think of is, who came up with this kind of stuff? Who thought about this? I thought maybe it was some old European tradition or something, and I looked up where it came from. I found nothing, so I said, okay, I'll figure something out, and I came up with this story.
Well, this is amazing. How do you come up with this story? Because I mean, this book, Santa's Big White Chicken, this is all your story. How did you come up with the chicken and the format for the story? Because it's cute the way you put all of this together.
Well, I suppose, Rick, because I'm a little wacky, you know, and I think that begins with right there.
That's a proper start for this book, yes.
I don't know. I just started writing. I said, how did this happen? You know, and it came to me. I thought, you know, how did they get the chicken get so big so it would fly? Yeah, and I was laying in bed one day. I was dreaming. I don't know, And I thought, how did this chicken get so big? And I thought, the bells, the jingle bells that Santa has on his sleigh. That makes this reindeer fly. So hey, if it makes the reindeer fly, it can make a big chicken. And that's what started it out.
The book is Santa's Big White Chicken, A Christmas Story, yep. A delightful picture book. The book is by Lewis Marino, our guest on the program, illustrated by his grandson, Louis Lansway. We'll talk about that in a second. Book available wherever books are sold. I will guide you to authorreputationpress.com. And, of course, if you go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, you can link on directly for information. So you put this story together, you formulate the story in your mind, and you've got your own little test group. You've got a number of grandchildren. They love this story, I understand.
Yeah, when I finally finished it, you know, I had, I got 8 grandchildren, and I just started reading to them. And every, you know, they loved it, you know, so every year it was kind of a tradition. They'd all gather around, and Grandpa would read this chicken story, you know. So, and then, you know, they... Children grow up, you know, pretty soon they don't care about Santa anymore. So they just kind of lay it around for years, you know, until what inspired me was my grandson is such a talented artist, you know, and I said, hey, his name is Louis also. I said, Louis, why don't we get your talent together with mine and create this book? That's what we did, and I worked on it for a while, and he worked a lot harder on it to make those illustrations, which I think are just marvelous, and we finally put it together.
And the book's available. It's Santa's Big White Chicken, A Christmas Story, Louis Marino, illustrated by Louis Lansway, his grandson. Talk about taking the project to this next level. You've got this story, this book in your mind, at least, that you've created. Now you're going to publish it, and you've got these illustrations. And the illustrations, he's such a magnificent artist. They literally jump off the page, don't they?
They do. They're they're fabulous.
What did you think along the way as you were doing this and you were saying, you knew he was a talented artist, but all of a sudden this brings your words to life. Like I said, they literally jump off the screen. What was that process like? Like you got to be thinking, I'm onto something here. This kid's got some talent.
Right. You know, I gave him some sketches, what I expected, you know, because I have a little bit of artistic talent. Being an architect,
oh, yes.
And I had a little bit of talent for sketching. So I made these little sketches, you know, and I gave it to him, and I really didn't expect a whole lot. But when they came back, it just floored me. You know, they were just so terrific, you know. And then from that point on, it was a logistics trying to get the thing put together and printed and out to the market.
Well, when you see people and the reviews of the book Santa's Big White Chicken, A Christmas Story, this became a Christmas tradition in your household, and it's becoming a Christmas tradition in others as well, and that certainly will grow this holiday season. What's that like to be able to create something like this, not only enjoyed by your family, but enjoyed by families you don't even know all across the country?
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's really hard to put a feeling to, but it's a feeling of satisfaction, of course. You know, I'd like to, you know, I think anytime you do some work, that was like architecture. You know, you did something in architecture. You built a building, designed a building. It was out there forever, everybody to see it. And it's like any artwork, it's the same thing. The problem with a book or something of that with written stuff, it's got to get out there. It's, you know, and it's a big marketing job, which I have absolutely no talent in marketing at all. So it's a long process to get it out there and out to the public.
Well, and that's what you're doing now, and we're talking about it and encouraging people to go check the book out. It's available wherever you'll find books. I'll send you to the publisher, authorreputationpress.com, and you can link on directly by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Information there on Lou, on the book, and how you can actually order the book, get it in time for Christmas to create your own tradition. Let's go back and talk again about your grandson and his illustrative efforts in putting this book together. This is interesting because he seems to really understand what you were attempting to do. Of course, he's probably heard, how many times has he heard this story before he sat down to illustrate it?
It's hard to say. It was every Christmas. But you know, he he's 36 years old, you know, so he's no kid anymore. But and even when I wrote this thing, he was, you know, probably a teenager at that time. So he hasn't heard it that many times.
Well,
he got the feeling,
yes,
what it was all about, and went right to it. He's just super.
Well, and he gets his humor too, and I assume that's not just Christmas time, but the humor with the family throughout the year. He gets this humor, and it's a book. It's not just to be enjoyed by children. This is something a family, a little adult humor buried in there as well, and adults will chuckle as they're reading this book as well.
Yeah, as I say, the kids don't read the book. The adults read it. Yeah, he's got a weird sense of humor. He's an artist. You know, they're always a little off.
Yeah, you know, and how those creative people are. Yes,
he was able to get a hold of this right away. He got to it right away. You know,
and there,
we didn't have a whole lot of editing to do after he got the first sketches came out. He just went whiz right to do it.
I don't want to give away too much in the storyline, but the reindeer have a little problem. They come down with some illness, which you capture in your text, and he captures in his pictures. So this really takes some twists and turns along the way here, doesn't it?
Yeah. Well, in order for a chicken to be working with Santa Claus, you got to eliminate the reindeer, you know,
yes,
and
yes,
aside from assassinating them, they all got sick is what happened. and all eight of them got sick, and Santa was there, you know, befuddled, didn't know how he was going to deliver his toy. So along came this chicken.
Well,
and
And the rest is history. You've done that with in capturing the essence of Christmas in this book. A new Christmas legend is born, is what one of the reviews is saying. A darling story for children from newborn to 90. It really incorporates everybody in Christmas. What's it going to be like at the Marino household this Christmas? I'm assuming some talk will be given to Santa's Big White Chicken.
Well, Marino household right now, we're empty nesters, and we're down in Florida, and we have a whole other gaggle of people down here that we deal with, and the children of my children, and they have grandchildren now too, so they are reading this book to their children and their grandchildren. Yeah, my youngest grandchildren, a child right now, is 15 or 16. And Louis, the illustrator, is 36, so there's a big gap there.
Yes. Santa's Big White Chicken, A Christmas Story by Louis Marino, our guest on the program, illustrated by his grandson, Louis Lonsway. Do you still have that original ornament that was given to you?
Yes, I do. It's right on my desk.
Don't want to get that too far away. Now, how many years ago was that when you got that that Christmas tree ornament?
Oh, geez, I think it was my stepson gave that to me. It's probably maybe 25 years ago. I had it around for a long time. We used to hang it on our Christmas tree, you know, all the time.
Oh, yes,
Christmas.
Yes. You know, it's interesting because you get, as parents, the kids will come up with things in school and whatever, and you have no idea exactly the symbolism, and you put it up on the tree, and this was so dynamic, it captured your attention, and this whole story evolved from there, and you'll find it in Louis' book, Santa's Big White Chicken, A Christmas Story. Talk about family and getting together at Christmas time. This obviously is a magical time of the year, and I can just imagine as all of these kids are growing up, and you've got Lou there reciting this Christmas story. This is a special time of the year for families, isn't it? And this really adds to that by giving you some laughter along the way, even more laughter.
Yeah, I think it's a great story for either parents or grandparents to read to little kids. You know, from anywhere from 3 to 6 or 7 years old. They just love it. You know, I see their eyes light up when they see the book or when they hear the story. They just love it. You know, it's to them it's magic. You know.
Well, and it's an interesting take on Christmas. So the kids sort of get into their imagination. It gives them a chance to think a little bit outside of what traditionally we're taught at Christmas time. So it's such a good story. Let's talk a second about actually writing this. When you decided to sit down and write it, how long did it take you to come up with the rhyming couplets that you have and getting to the point where you feel like, okay, this is not only a good story now, but the story is one that flows very nicely because it does have a flow to it. Once you get in the rhythm, you're hooked.
Right. It's you know, when I write, you know, and I'm not that prolific, but when I sit down to write, it kind of comes to me all at once. I used to write a lot of songs, you know, and they weren't children's songs at all, far from it. But when I'd sit down to write, it would come to me right away. Otherwise, it would. If it didn't come to me right away, it didn't work. So this came to me right away. Every couple of days, I had it pretty much under control. After a few years after reading it, when I was getting serious about the book, I kind of honed it a little bit, you know, just a little bit. But it was pretty much came all at once.
You know, you've got a number of people that have become fans that are reading this, have read this before at Christmas time, and they're wondering what you're going to do next. I think a Christmas goat was suggested as something that you could get into and write about. Are you working on anything new?
Rick, I don't know. At that point, I don't know. I'm old, you know, like I told you before. I'm getting old now. Some of the juices aren't quite there anymore, but... Well, I just wrote a little, where I live here, we have a little club, and I just wrote a story based on Charles Dickens' Christmas Carol. And I just wrote that story, and we performed with a bunch of old people over here. We performed for our club last Wednesday, this new story of the Christmas Carol. I call that a fractured Christmas Carol, and it was just a lot of fun. You know, here at my age, at 85, I'm still writing something, you know, but I don't know if I can relate to children anymore. It's been, you know, I don't have them around me anymore, you know.
Well, maybe you'll get sparked by something that happens over Christmas when the family gets together and get the
right.
creative juices flowing again. It's just such a...
Yeah, well, I got two great-grandchildren. One is 3 and one is just about a year. So when they get a little older, maybe they may inspire me.
Well, it's nice. You've almost got your... With all the children, the grandchildren, the great-grandchildren, you've almost got your own little focus group there, don't you? You could run this by them and check their reaction.
Yeah, I did. It was a lot of fun reading to them. They just loved it, you know. And it was a tradition for a long time, but, you know, then everybody got old.
That happens in all of our lives.
Yeah.
You don't think that's the case, and you walk in front of a mirror sometime, and you're thinking, wait a minute, where have all the years gone? Yes, and here's another Christmas, but here's something that will, I think at Christmas time, will entertain and amuse everybody. It just, you know, we're all kids at Christmas time, so this book is something that strikes that nerve. I just want to go back and ask about this career, a distinguished career in architecture. Take us back for just a few minutes to 1966, stadium construction, baseball stadium, Anaheim. We see now that everything is designed for the fan experience at the ballpark. I'm sure far different back in 1966. What were you trying to accomplish in building a stadium in 1966? What was the thing that you focused on for the fan?
Well, we were most of the stadiums at that time were built with columns to support the roof.
Yes.
And what we were trying to do is build a stadium that had no columns for the in front of the seating area. So it was an engineering problem, you know. And I'm just an architect, and I was working with an engineering firm that had designed. They had designed stadiums since 1900, way back when. They had designed like the Yankee Stadium, Boston Stadium. They designed a whole bunch of them all over the country, and it was an old firm, and they just got the contract to design the Anaheim Stadium, and we tried something new, and it was innovative at the time. And compared to what they spend today on the stadium, it was, you know, it was like peanuts. I think the whole stadium and everything was about $20 million. Today, it's $1 billion.
Yes.
It's crazy today. It's all electronics and all that stuff that goes on with it now. It's an experience now, not a baseball stadium.
Well, yeah, was that at the time when we were starting to transition with the stadiums to make them multifaceted, where, okay, we could do football here, we could do baseball here? Was that the beginning of that era?
We tried many times to combine the two sports, but it didn't work. So it was decided by those that were building, you know, paying for it. They said, let's just do a baseball stadium.
Yes.
If we want a football stadium, we'll do a football stadium. And the idea of combining them just didn't work. They tried some innovative ideas of having. In fact, when we did that, I was working for a firm that did the Washington, D.C. stadium, and they had some movable stands on big railroad wheels that moved a whole section of the stands from the baseball, which is kind of a V-shaped, you know, to a football, which is, you know, a horizontal shape. And it worked, and then it didn't work, you know. So the idea at that point is, let's just build two stadiums. So that's the way it went. Yeah.
That had to be so much fun at that point designing that. And then again, when you see the finished product, when you see people going into Anaheim to watch a baseball game there and being totally caught up in the moment, what's that like when you see this finished structure? You as the chief architect, it's got to be amazing.
Kind of puffs you up a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
Say, hey, man, I did that. that's one of the best parts of architecture. You know, you drive by and see it, or wherever you are, you see something that you just came out of your mind, you know, and you see something that's being useful, it's beautiful, and all that stuff. It makes it feel good.
Well, from that part of your
career. But I got to admit, Rick, I wasn't that great of an architect. That's why I kind of slid into the development business and worked more like building neighborhoods, building development, houses, and that kind of stuff.
Yes.
I'm not that rigid. In architecture, you got a lot of rules to deal with, you know, and I'm more a loose-minded kind of guy, you know, and it was too much for me to be that rigid in architecture. So, but it was a hell of an experience to begin with.
Oh, I'm sure. And what I mean to talk about being chief architect on a baseball stadium. I mean that's quite impressive. And yeah,
it was.
And this thinking outside the box, not being rigid, that comes to right to the forefront in your book, Santa's Big White Chicken: A Christmas Story. There's really not a manual you pick up anywhere that would tell you how to write a story like this. This is all all imagination, no boundaries, isn't it?
You know, and I've never done much of that stuff. The only thing I've done, you know, in that respect is I've wrote a lot of songs, you know, because I play the guitar well enough to accompany myself, and I had fun at parties and I performed a little bit of at nightclubs every once in a while, but it was fun, just you know, to come up and write something that's original, you know, because I wasn't that good of a guitar player to play someone else's songs. So I had to write my own.
Well, yeah, it's just amazing what you've done with this book, Santa's Big White Chicken, A Christmas Story. A minute or so left here. Tell me about your grandson, this very talented artist. Give me a little background on him. He's very good.
He is very good. And he's working now, not such a... glamorous job. He's doing illustrations for a company that sells things, and he's doing the illustration for them.
Yes. Well, he's got a very distinctive style, and it's very hard to describe. Just you need to go take a look at the book, and you'll end up creating your own holiday tradition with this. The book is Santa's Big White Chicken, A Christmas Story by Louis Marino, illustrated by his grandson, Louis Lonsway. Book available at authorreputationpress.com. You'll find it available at other outlets, of course, as well. Go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. You can link on and get information on the book. Lou, this has been such fun having you on the program. A brand new wacky Christmas tradition is started, and it's all your fault. This is starting. People will be talking about the big white chicken.
Well, I hope I make a few more people wacky.
That's what we need anymore, I tell you.
It's all fun. It's all about fun, you know?
That's what we need to do. Step back from the reality of day-to-day and enjoy wacky.
Right. And the Christmas season is time to do it.
This really is the big white chicken. So, Lou, it's been a pleasure having you on the program. Thank you for being with us on the show today.
Oh, my pleasure. I really enjoyed it. Thank you very much, Rick.
You're welcome. This has been fun.
Let's hope we sell some books.
Yes. Louis Marino. That's Marino. If you're Googling it, the book's available at authorreputationpress.com, the usual places. The book is Santa's Big White Chicken, A Christmas Story. You'll find more information by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Back on today's program after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.